Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
We don't have notes today.
No, we don't have any notes.
We don't need notes.
We're just speaking from our heart today.
Speaking from our hearts are going to sing.
Yes. And don't worry, our mouths won't sing, just our hearts. We're not very good singers.
No. I want to think that I am.
Do your kids tell you often that you're not? Because mine will shut down a dream like in a hot minute. Like, Mom, please stop. I'm like, yes. Okay, right.
No, because I think that I offer theatrics with my singing. So I think that they're like, yes. Just like, she's going to go for it. Because right. They see effort behind that. But mm-hmm. No, Luna has told me several times that I'm a very good singer. But, I mean, that's Luna.
Yeah.
I think she has very low comparable sources. I mean, our car jams. But we've been so into The Greatest Showman because that's like, it's either Smallfoot yes. or Greatest Showman mm-hmm. in our car. And there are some...
There's
belt out songs.
Yeah, you can't just sing those at like a normal level. Like, you got to go all in.
You do.
Those notes are so big. You got to hit, like, do you find yourself doing choreography like in the car?
Do you even know me? I'm like taking it back to the back seat. I'm like, all right, who's going to drop it? You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, hands.
Yes. All the hands.
Yes. Hands. Mm-hmm. And I look back and I point. And I'm, yeah.
All of it.
If you're not halfway jam it out in your car with your kids at some point.
Yes. Well, this is where in my car my kids are like, Mom, please stop. Like, oh. But I like the song. She's like, we know. Like, okay.
Alrighty. Don't be rude.
I know. But it's crazy because they don't sing in the car.
They don't?
No. I mean, not really.
Oh, Luna does.
Yeah. But you put them upstairs, and they do full-on performances with
full on.
Lights, and I feel like there could be pyrotechnics if we walked in, you know, there's...
One step
away. Mm-hmm. They could figure out how to work the lighter. I'm pretty sure they do it.
It's tricky. It's so tricky. Glad it's tricky.
Yes.
I'm glad it's a multi-step lighter.
Yeah. So it's not that they don't like to sing and like to perform, but they just don't do it in the car.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Well, probably because they're seat-belted in, like, I'm too confined.
I'm confined, yes. No. I need room for my creativity to flow. I can't do that here in the back seat.
No, I'll smack somebody. You know what makes us not want to smack somebody is yoga.
Yes, yoga does the opposite. Yoga allows me to be super patient with people and patient with myself.
Yes.
I love yoga.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Our somewhat love letter to yoga. Because we get this question a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We, like... yoga practice, how we got started, what keeps us coming back. And I think origin stories are so fun.
Yes.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
I want to know.
You want to know all the things.
I want to know how you got there. Mm-hmm. All the roads. So,
yeah.
Shannon, so, tell us how you got into it.
Alrighty. Well, it was 2001. I had just moved to Northern Virginia.
And 2001. Okay, so let's say, like, what Britney Spears song was really popular then?
Hit Me Baby One More Time had come out, like, the summer before. Mm. I'm trying to think, because I know we used to watch Making of the Video. Like,
I love that
in
show.
Our apartment, like, there are four girls that live there. And, like, that was, I think it came on Sunday nights. It's either Sunday or Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was it. Like, you just paused whatever you were doing. As soon as it came on, you watched it. And you're like, oh, this is amazing.
I know. At the very end, they showed the whole video.
The whole video. And that's usually how it premiered. Yeah, exactly. I still remember the one with Christina Aguilera and...
the fighting one.
No, it wasn't the fighting. It was... I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. I could see the video. It had like the silver big confetti at the very end.
I don't know what that one is.
I can sing it in... Come on over, baby. That's it. Oh, I was like, I can sing it in Spanish, but I don't know. I can't because I had that album in Spanish.
Like, she's about to
sing. Think amigo. Now, remember, people, I was a Spanish major, so I felt like I had to get, you know, I had to immerse myself.
Christina was her girl.
Yeah. So I remember that being like a big deal. So, sorry. To go back, I don't know what Britney Spears song was popular in 2001.
Or Christina, or MTV show, because yeah. that's where you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, 2001, I was in Northern Virginia, and I feel like I had read about somebody in Us Weekly who I kept seeing, like, they would come out of their yoga studio. You know how, like, back in the day, they'd, like, they're just like us. And I'm like, well, I don't do yoga, but maybe I should. So, this is a true story. So I went to, I was a member at, it was called Lifetime Fitness, and there was a yoga class. And I was like, well, I'm going to try this out. And I walked in. I had no idea what I was doing. They had mats because I was like, oh, you need a mat? Oh, okay.
What kind of yoga was it? Because there's so many different types.
It was Hatha. Yeah. No, it was just a... Okay. Because it was in a gym setting, it wasn't like a specified...
heated room.
No. I'll tell you that story later. but this was just a regular in a gym aerobics room type deal. And my instructor's name was Kelly. And she was amazing. Like, you just kind of felt... Like, she looked like a yoga instructor. Like, you know, like... You know, she had the yoga pants and, like, the really earthy kind of tank top, and she kind of smelled like patchouli, and I didn't know what patchouli was back then, but now I'm like, definitely, it's... she had incense burning, like, in the studio, so I was like, yes, I dig it in here, and the lights were, like, super dim.
She's like a sound bowl.
No. I don't think so. But she... Her story was really cool because she started... Like, in her yoga teacher training, they had to do, I think, 30 hours of community work in order to practice in a studio setting. And she would do her yoga in the community at in jails. So she would do yoga with inmates. And she was, I think, maybe like 10 hours in for part of this training. And she actually got stabbed by an inmate who had been taking her classes, and she's like, I have no idea why he targeted me, but he made like a knife out of like a plastic spoon.
Like a shiv? Or is that called?
Yeah.
Shank?
Shank, yeah. Shank? Yeah, it was like... but it was crazy because she got stabbed. She had to go to the hospital. She had to have surgery. And it was nuts. It was like a life-threatening injury that she had, and the doctor was like... You need to thank yoga because yoga saved your life. He's like, I think because you have been on your head more than you've been on your feet, like your organs have shifted. And if your organs would be in a place that a normal person's were, you would be dead right now. He's like, but I'm pretty sure that yoga saved your life. And I was like, oh. So when you hear that in your first time ever taking yoga, you're in a really open state and like your yoga instructor just, you know, hands you this information. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I gotta keep coming back. This lady is legit. Like, I loved every minute.
I love how a stabbing story. I gotta come back. Yes.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, she's gangster. This is my girl.
I know, right? Like,
this is my girl. I kept coming back and eventually would follow her to different studios. But in my 20s, I had a very limited budget on how I could spend, you know, and because I was a member of this gym, that was free. So mm-hmm. Once I realized like, oh wait, I have to pay when I go, I'll just keep coming back here. Mm-hmm. So that is where I first started going to yoga, and I did it pretty, I would say like 2 to 3 times a week, which was great. And then fast forward to 2003 when I had my cheer gym, I moved to like a different part of town. So like was the commute to get to where Kelly was way too far and I couldn't afford to do the commute. So I was like, dang. And then I ended up doing a little teacher training in 2004. And then I ended up teaching yoga at my gym for about a year and a half and loved it. But I mean, with very small, like in the morning kind of classes. But I was like, wow, I just feel really connected to the practice and mm-hmm. to sharing that with people and just being like, no, yoga is really cool. And what I think I love most about it is like when people start doing yoga, like the perception of yoga changes. It's before you do it, you're like, oh, I'm not bendy. I'm not hippy dippy. Like I can't do this kind of stuff. It's not my thing. I need more cardio. And it's like, oh, okay. You're not there yet. It's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you start to get into it, you're like, holy moly, there's a lot more to it than just touching your toes or, you know, standing on your head. Like there's just so much more that mm-hmm. goes into it. And then the first time I took a heated class was also in Northern Virginia.
Different animal.
But I didn't realize that it was a heated studio. So I literally am just looking, and this is like 2006, I think. 2006, 2007.
And those who don't know, Heated Studios, they vary.
Yes.
Vary in, yeah. You have to be prepped a little bit for like, yes, what you need to wear, what you need to bring, what, right, you need to how much you need to hydrate.
Yes. So I'm just looking for a place to do yoga because honestly, I'll be perfectly honest, I was super hungover and I'm like, oh, yoga sounds so good. I could just really get this stuff out. So and just literally doing like a search of what yoga studios are closest to my house. So I find this one that is like mile and a half away. I'm like, perfect, that's it. And I'm like, Bikram? Well, okay. I don't know what Bikram means, but I'll just go to this Bikram studio. No big deal.
How many minutes was
it? Oh, it was 90.
It was the full?
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was a full 90-minute class. So I walk in, I'm, you know, signing up, and they're, have you ever been in a heated studio? I was like, no. I'm like, oh, wait, is that what I'm doing? And they're like, yeah, 90 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm here. Yeah, I should just go. Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm like, do you have water? I'm like, no. And they're like, you need to buy some. And I'm like, oh, you have to pay for that here? Oh, man. Yeah. All right.
Do you have water? You're hungover.
I'm hungover.
You don't have any water.
I don't have any water.
That makes me thirsty just thinking about it.
I know, but I was like, no clue what I was going to do.
All of a sudden, I'm like.
So we start doing, I get into class, and it's like a traditional Bikram. So like the carpet floors, like it smells terrible. Mm-hmm. Men are in Speedos. I'm like, or like those little tiny yoga shorts that tie the sides. You know? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm suddenly feeling very overdressed right now. I'm like, oh, God.
You're like in capri pants and a t-shirt. Yeah.
You remember those Express tank tops that had like the built-in shelves?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was in.
Oh, yeah. It was totally okay to work out.
Yeah.
Very breathable.
Very breathable, yes. So we're getting into it, and about, you know, 10 minutes in, I'm like, I might die. Like, this is really hot. Like, it's really sweaty.
Well, after the pranayama.
Yeah.
Or the breathing, that's it.
That's it.
Like, you're already, your heart rate's up.
You're like, okay, all right. So we're going through the class, and, like, I just remember sweating profusely, and it was stinky. Like, it smelled like beer. And the guy next to me was like, do you smell beer? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Aim Still Alive, yeah. Like, Rolling Rock.
I know, we're here. Sorry about that. I'm like, oh, my God. And I just remember when that class was over, I mean, I felt terrible, but I felt good. It was just one of those, like, I needed to sweat it out, but I was like, oh, my God, this is so hard. But I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop talking about it. I mean, every person that I had come into contact with that day and like the next day, I was like, you guys, you've got to try this. Do you know anything about Bikram yoga? Because it's really cool.
It's like wearing a dress with pockets.
Yes.
You go to everybody, like, but it has pockets. Right. And then you go to everybody, like, but I did hot yoga.
Yes. It's amazing. It's
exactly the same
thing. Yes. And you come out and you're like completely drenched, and I'm like, what just happened in there?
It is like a therapeutic experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I fell in love with the heated space, and I was like, yes. This mm-hmm. is, and that had to have been 2007, because it wasn't too much later that I moved to Louisville. And when actually the very first weekend I was here, Dan was out of town. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I need to find one of those hot Bikram studios, see if they have it here in Louisville.
One of them.
And at the time, I think it may have been like through a friend that someone was like, you have to try out this studio. And I don't even think it's open anymore. But it's above like where Saints is, or that the bagel place that's over there, Molly Malone's. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was upstairs. And I really liked it because I really liked the instructor. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked is that there was windows, mm-hmm. and it was bright, which was way different than the studio I had been, which is, you know, like the traditional, like you're in a closet mm-hmm. type deal. And I'm like, I really like this place. It was great. And then right after I did that class, I had lunch at the Meridian Cafe, which is now Taco Luchador for anybody in Louisville. And I remember sitting outside reading a book and being immediate and like, I really like Louisville. Like, I had found my spot. Like, and I was like, and what I loved about it is that Dan wasn't there. You know, like, I was able to do something on my own. I went into St. Matthews. Like, I lived in Middletown and I went into St. Matthews by myself. I was like, whoa, this is great. And it just was like, oh, OK. okay. But it was neat because I met people through yoga. Mm-hmm. And, like, when Dan came back that week, he's like, what'd you do? I'm like, I made friends. He's like, oh, that's great. Where? I'm like, the yoga studio. He's like, where is that? So it was just, it was really neat. And I just felt like yoga, it's one of those things that you just find a little community and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But that made you feel so attached to Louisville.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It was like planting the first seed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, And then 11 years later, I'm still...
You have a garden.
Doing my yoga.
You have a garden.
I do.
So, but then you kept going back to heated and...
Yeah, I loved the heated. And I never quite found a non-heated studio that I loved and felt super connected to. I mean, I'd been to a couple places and... which a lot of it dictated, like, time of the class dictated what I could take and what I couldn't. So... although I met great instructors, it just usually wouldn't fit into the time frame that I, at the time, needed yoga to fit into. So that kind of shifts, you know, your practice a little bit. Because when you get connected with an instructor, you want to, you like that because you're like this.
You do.
She speaks to me. I listen. I like her flows. I like her music. I like his, you know, all these things.
Because you're it's an experience.
It's an experience, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because it's not like a 30-minute class, you're in and you're out. Like, you have to be committed to giving a good solid 2 hours. So, mm-hmm. like, half an hour to get to where you're going, an hour to take your class, half an hour to get home. So, like, you've got to kind of carve out the time. And that's if you're taking a 60-minute class. Mm-hmm. If you're taking a 75-minute class, you got to add in...
my day shot.
Right. You know, like, you really do. And even if you're in 90 minutes, you're like, look... I got yoga, and then I ain't got no time to do it.
No.
So, I mean, as far as that goes, I really enjoyed kind of finding where I felt like I fit in the Louisville yoga community. And I loved taking at Betsy's. There was an instructor who's no longer with us. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was amazing. And that was, like, his class, Terry... was the first time I had been in a yoga class where, like, he was playing Lady Gaga and, you know, George Michael, and he had, like, mashups. This was when Glee was really popular. He had, like, Glee mashups, and I'm like...
I still love mashups, by the way.
I do, too. I love them.
Can we bring him back?
Yes. And that's, like... I was like, he gets it. Like, he speaks to me, and it wasn't, like, a... We moved a lot, but we did... there was just so much more to it. It was it was way more than yoga... But he made that happen. He brought that energy, and he brought, like, I mean, he had a great following. You know, it was beautiful practice. So that's, yeah, I loved that. And then when Ben and Zen opened, and, like, that just created a beautiful community for yogis of all walks of life, because it was no longer just, you know, the Bikram style or the Hot 26. There was so many different things. And, like, I had always liked that, but, like, there had never been a place where there was multiple types of yoga in a heated studio. And I was like, why is that? Like, why is it just here or just here? It's like, you need Trader Joe's and you need Kroger and you need Whole Foods to all just be in the same,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want them to all be in the same, like, shopping center so that you don't have to go, like, 8,000 places to get what you need. I felt the same way about yoga. I'm like, can we just have one place that does all the things? Yes. Yes. And we found that, you know, with Ben and Zen, which is great, but I loved it. I did actually write a little love letter to yoga this summer. It was on my Instagram. I'll share it with you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. Yoga is more than a physical practice. It gives you the ability to sit in the noisy moments and know that you are capable of listening even when you're not sure what you hear. It gives you peace when all you know is fear. It allows you to understand at your own pace what matters most. Yoga lets your light shine even when it's dim. Thank you, yoga, for teaching me to see the world in only the way you can. XOXO. Yay. I love you, yoga.
That's so beautiful. So, I know you told a few other, on another podcast, your future plans. So, what are you starting soon?
Yeah. So, I guess by the time this airs in next week, I will be starting my 200-hour teacher training. So I'm super excited. And for a long time, I kept getting the question. Actually, it was when you were going through, like, oh, when are you starting? And I'm like, I'm not interested.
I didn't ask you that.
No. It was many other people that were like, oh, when are you? And I'm like, no. And I still, like, my decision to do yoga training isn't necessarily to teach a bunch of classes. It's to get a stronger understanding of how the practice works. And we've got some projects that we want to be, you know, working on in the future. But for me, what I loved about and still do love about yoga is that I don't have to make any decisions when I'm in that class. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not creating the list. I'm not creating the flows. It's just I go for someone else to guide me. And that's what I love.
Yes.
Like, because I make so many decisions throughout the day that I'm like, nope, when I'm on my mat, if I'm in a studio, I want someone else to take the reins. And I'm like, this is great. And I love that. So I forever will be a teacher or forever will be a student mm-hmm. of yoga. But I'm excited to dive in to the opposite side to see that perspective of it. So mm-hmm. super stoked.
Yes. And she's taken it from a phenomenal yogi that yes, we love.
Who was on the podcast. Yes. Ms. Lori.
Lori Lacombe. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about your journey. So
thank you.
You're wanting to deepen your practice.
Yes.
And you're wanting to spread your wings and teach a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, be able to instruct, to know the dynamics
yes.
of leading.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, and when you get into it, if that changes, that'd be great.
Yeah.
When I started, I was like, oh, yeah, I might teach a class. And now, I mean,
yeah.
But I get being in a class and wanting to be led.
Yeah.
I get sometimes jealous of the students in my class. I was like, I wish I was you.
I want to be taking with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I joke with them. I'm like, I might take the class too.
Yeah.
I don't, but I might. I love your journey. It's a really good journey. I mean, it started in 2001.
I've been doing this a long time. I mean, that's, you know, I understand way more how my body works now than what I did 17 years ago or 18. Good Lord. Long time ago. So it's really funny how, I mean, because I grew up doing gymnastics. I was in cheerleading. So, like, when people hear, they're like, oh, that's why you're so good at yoga. I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, yes, I have done those things when I was younger, but that was 30 plus years ago. So it's not like, you know, I know plenty of people who have been gymnasts and cheerleaders who still aren't, they're like, mm-hmm. I can't do a wheel anymore. I'm not doing a handstand. I'm not doing that. So it's just funny to watch how, like, the more in tune I am with my body, the better my practice gets. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much better in the sense of, like, the postures look better. It's that I understand why I'm doing them. Mm-hmm. And I understand how my body works in those poses. So that, in that sense, my practice gets better.
I think where gymnastics had helped you, there wasn't a fear barrier there.
Yes.
You know, like, to be on your hands.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably the biggest. Yeah. But as far as the dynamics of you having to create muscle tone and core strength and body awareness to go up upside down or any other type wheel, that took
absolutely.
You.
Yeah. I mean, and I did not know how to press to a handstand when I was in gymnastics or cheerleading. I never did that. Like, I tried it and I was like, well, this is really hard. And I mean, things that I would work towards getting it. But at 38, when I pressed to the handstand for the first time, I was like, holy shit. Wow,
this is amazing. This
is crazy. So it's, I mean, yes, all of that background helps, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not why I am good at what I do on a mat.
Right. A funny story, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was like the day you had your first press, you had sent a video to me the night before, and you're like, I'm really, really close. And then I remember you walking mm-hmm. into yoga the next day. It was like a Wednesday at noon. I think I was getting ready to leave. And I was like, are you going to try the press? And you said, yeah, I'm going to nail it today. You were so confident, you know? And I was like, well, I remember thinking, I was like, I mean, I knew you would. But I was like, dang, that's confident. I'm like, that is awesome. I was like, I hope she does. Like, and even if you didn't,
right.
It wouldn't have been a big deal. But yeah. Like, yeah, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was so proud of you because, I mean, aww, it's such a big, not just like physical, but yeah. So, and I always get mildly frustrated when people are like, oh, she's a gymnast, or another friend that's super bendy, like, oh, she's just super bendy because she's always been that. I'm like, no. That's not how it goes. So, just because you did have something doesn't mean you always will.
You always keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I've fallen down enough times to know that I'm okay. Like, I'll get back up. I've broken enough bones to know, like, they heal. It's okay. Like, I did all that work a long time ago. So I'm like, no, I'm good.
It's okay.
I'm good.
Sever a toe. We're all right.
Yeah. I'm like, I've got nine others. It's fine.
That's so cool. I'm excited. I love your journey. I'm excited. Aww, I'm excited for yours.
Yay. Well, Miss Brittany, tell me about your yoga journey.
Oh my gosh. When does that, is interesting as yours? Well, mine was not in 2001. I had to think, it was like maybe 2012. I think it was right after Watson. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was after Watson because after I came back from Wyatt,
you reemerged, which is true. I mean, you cocooned yourself in your house for a while.
Well, so and I'll get into that. But but after I had, okay, that this, you know, explain there. So after I had Wyatt, I took on a little journey to go into Pure Barre. Mm-hmm. And I really fell in love with Pure Barre. I was like, this is so cool. I started like, and that was probably my first like workout place. I mean, I'd go to the gym and like kind of, you know, like we all do, kind of like do the stair stepper and maybe get on the treadmill. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
I worked out today. It's great.
It's great. And then go home and eat a healthy choice meal. Yeah. Like in the, from the microwave. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty much it. So when I found Pure Barre, I was like, oh, this is cool. And I felt like really confident I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I saw like strength results, like body definition. So I was like, well, this is great. I'm going to keep doing it. Totally drank the Kool-Aid. I think it's still a great place to work out and to get started with. Would still promote it. But at the end of every Pure Barre class, they would do like these light stretches. And by that, I mean like a seated forward fold, mm-hmm. a wide leg stretch, and then like a side stretch. And I remember doing a forward fold and being like, we go down like an inch.
Yeah.
And that was painful. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh. And at this time, I'm like 28. And I was like, I'm not flexible at all.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward. And so after I had Watson, you said, like, why don't we try yoga? And I was like, yeah, because I felt, like, super confident. Pure Barre had given me that confidence. I'm like, I'm pretty strong. I can do this. And I can't remember if it was Power that we went to.
Yeah.
Was that the first one? Because I thought Charm was the first one. Or was that the second?
That was the second.
Okay.
Because we wanted to, I was like, there is a new studio. We should go check it out. And that was the first one. And then we did Charmed, is that what it was?
No, it was Charm who taught it. It was hot yoga. It was Bikram.
Yeah.
It was a Bikram practice. Okay.
Well, so, no, it's Baptiste. That was Baptiste yoga.
502 was.
Yeah.
And then, but, okay. So,
okay.
Sorry. So we did the Baptiste first, and I thought it was great. I like to move a lot. Mm-hmm. I got my ass kicked. I was like, and I remember looking over, and Shannon's like kind of doing this crow thing, and I was like, what the hell is that? I was like, and I didn't know any of the language.
Yeah.
So, but I knew that I could figure it out one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I was in yogi traffic. So I was like, okay, I would like it, but let's try, keep trying around.
Yeah.
So, and I never give up after one thing. I'm like, okay, let's keep trying.
Yeah.
It's like sushi. Mm-hmm. Didn't love it at first. So we go to a different studio and we take the strict Bikram. And that's where I fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of odd because I really liked this instructor. She really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think she left quickly after I started, not because of me, by the way, but I felt really challenged, and I saw, and the thing about the Hot 26 was that you could feel, or the back then Bikram, you could kind of see, like, the closer that your head is to your leg, and mm-hmm. it was very linear, so you see the progress very quickly, so that kept me coming back, but what I really did notice was my body awareness picked up, and I started to think about and look at life differently. That was a big thing for me. So then I got pregnant again. So I was like in the middle of like yoga journeys and doing mm-hmm. all this stuff, and then and still going to Pure Barre every once in a while, and then I get pregnant with Luna again, and knowing that after each pregnancy I had to put on my armor because I always dealt with postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the main armor I didn't have on with Luna was that I started the depression journey a little bit earlier, like during my pregnancy. So it was like some dark days, and it was a lot of, you know, self reassurance, and, you know, looking back now, I didn't know what it was then.
Yeah.
But I remember like would do like little prenatal stretches, and I remember my response to that, like when I would do these like little videos in my house, like you could download on the TV by then. And I remember my response system to that, and I was like, whoa, there's something here.
Yeah.
And it was even just like minor side bends, doing like a little butterfly pose and bit, you know. And I remember being like, oh, little one, okay, me and you are going to be okay. So 6 weeks after, to the day after I had Luna, I remember stepping into Bend and Zen. It was when they had first opened. It was like 6 months after they opened. And I signed up for a class, and I was like, I don't care what it was, I was going for it.
Yeah.
And in that class, it was where we practiced handstand. Okay, so this is me, mm-hmm. never being in a power vinyasa class at the studio. We're up against a wall practicing handstand, and I'm like, what?
You want me to do what now?
You want me to be on these things? You want these things to support my body? That's crazy. So, and I was flailing about, had no idea what I was doing. And it was the most out of control, comforting feeling I'd ever felt in my life. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, something's here. And yeah. I just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And the amount of release and reprieve and home that I felt on that space, it was so comforting. It was just so eye-opening to me. I was like, mm-hmm. I can occupy this however I feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's like it gave me so much power over my mind and my body. So I was in the locker room one day at Bend and Zen, and I see this like little piece of paper. It said, hey, sign up for yoga teacher training. It was like the first class ever out of the studio. And I was like, huh. I want to think about that. And I took a picture and I sent it to Shannon. I was like, I'm thinking about doing this. Well, there was a girl sitting next to me at the same time that I took the picture and sent it to Shannon. Her name's Kelly. And Kelly's like, well, I'm doing it too. And she goes, so is so-and-so. And I was like, well, that's not why I'm going to do it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And she's like, yeah. And da-da-da-da. And she started talking to me. I was like, okay, well, if she's in the class, then I'll definitely have someone to talk to.
Right.
Well, that's great. So I go home, and this is why my husband is never, he's so supportive in anything I ever want to do. And mm-hmm. he's like, I think you should go for it. And yeah. I was like, but it's a lot of time. And I was like, and we just had a baby. And he's like, we'll figure it out. It's mm-hmm. all right. Now we did have to figure it out.
Yeah.
It was a lot of time. But what was so great was that we managed it, and I completed that. And like, I'm like a little teary-eyed, but I was so comforted to like complete it.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
And it was like finishing something for me.
Yes. Oh, this is beautiful, Brittany. I love it. I love it so much.
So fast forward. Mm-hmm. I was very proud of myself. Sorry.
No, it's good. This is good. You're in a safe space. This is your safe space.
I know. So I had to gain like my legs in front of a class. So yeah. Public speaking is not easy for me. Like, I stumble with my words. I still do. I just have to search for the thought. So it was very humbling, those first classes. But I kept working at it and working at it and working at it. And I'm just so proud about where I am.
Yeah, and you should be, buddy. You should be. Oh, my God. It's just, you took something that you literally walked into knowing nothing
yeah.
about it. And, you know, 3 years later, you're in a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
You know, you've done so much. And to watch your growth, and not just on a mat, but you as a person since yoga has entered your life, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, this is the most confident Brittany I have ever known, and I've known a couple, like a couple stages of Brittany. And I'm just so thankful that you found something that you're passionate about, and that it just shines through you the way that yoga does. So
thank you.
I love your journey, and I think it's a beautiful one. I'm so glad that, you know, you love it this much and that you want to share it with other people. And I'm just really glad that you let me roll out your mat next to you on this journey, buddy.
I think that just having someone always there to support, it was just so monumental. And I think just seeing where it was and so dark, and then I always want to get people that, you know, back. So
yeah, you do.
Yeah, it was really great. I love it. I can't imagine. I remember my mom saying, so how do you just go work out? And I was like, no, mom, I go teach. And it's so funny. It's like an ongoing joke. I mean, I really don't mind when she says it. She's like, I was like, no, mom, I teach. And it is the fact that I teach, like, I love that. I love giving those words to people, because it meant so much to me at those dark days, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I will get mixed up. I'll forget a side. I will totally blunder. But I always come back to that I want you to have the experience that I did, you know, and do my best. And I show up every class, like, ready for you.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, yeah,
I choose to show up.
Well, and show up you do. I mean, you've got a great following, and I mean, I know people that have taken your class that love it. I mean, they absolutely love it. I mean, I love it. Like, when I'm in a Brittany class, I'm like, yes. I mean, it's just fantastic, and I just love where this journey has led you, and I'm excited to see where, you know, it continues to lead you. So, yay.
Yeah.
Yay, yoga.
And, you know, and when I first started the handstand journey, which was, like, it kind of went full circle, and I other have lots of other yoga journeys, but, like, I remember going to that first class, not being able to even, like, barely get my body up. I was like, you want me to do what? And now to where it's, I'm so comfortable on my hands, it's just a full circle kind of mentality. Like, I wasn't comfortable, and now I am.
Yeah.
And it's just the power that you have within, and it, that's what it gives you.
Yes.
That's crazy. That,
yeah.
That's the power.
It yes. And okay. I think that that's when people keep coming back to yoga, it's because they figured that out.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer about how long can you hold a plank or how many sun salutations you can do. It's the power that they find within themselves, knowing that there's still more.
Right. That you can uncover so much.
So much.
Just by seating.
Yeah.
Like, staying in a seated pose. So, to go along with that, so I start my I just started my 300-hour journey last weekend. The first class, the first of the module base. Yeah. So, mine's not going to be, it's going to be a little bit of a long journey. It's going to be a marathon to get the 300-hour, but I'm really excited. I love always learning more and just increasing the knowledge, and that's really fun for me.
Well, and that's kind of goes along when it's yoga practice. It's not yoga perfect. It's not like you ever get to, like, this, you know, the epitome of where you want to be as a yogi. I think because it's always a journey that will always be shifting and changing. And, you know, the deeper you get into poses and the practice, the more you start to, it's like self-discovery. It's you dig more out of yourself. You're like, oh, wow. So I've been hiding that in my hips all this time.
Yeah, all that time. Like a foam roller is not going to get that out.
Okay, that's emotional. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So and it's, I mean, it is really neat to listen. Like, when you are sitting in a space, like, I know, for an example, like, my brother's like, I don't really like yoga. It's, you know.
It's too slow.
It's too slow because he's, like, a runner, but, he's like, I just can't sit in my thoughts. And I'm like, oh, oof. Well, you need it the most then.
Oof.
And, you know, like, he's now, you know, he does a little bit more and a little bit more. And I'm like, that to me, I'm like, yes. Because there's somebody who was running, literally running away from the, you know, the dark stuff or the heavy stuff, literally is being able to sit in it.
In it.
And being like, oh, wow. Okay, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about avoiding. It's about showing up for yourself and just seeing internally what's going on.
And to go back to our other episode that was a couple weeks ago by the time this one is released, it's the love yourself. And why that is important is that's your honesty. Like, when we talk about that, like, when you're trying to find your honesty, sometimes that can happen in a quiet area. And not just asking yourself questions, but seeing what questions come up.
Yeah.
For you.
And listening. Those, yeah. And, like, the ones that are really uncomfortable that keep, like, smacking in the face, like, those are the ones you have to, those are the ones trying to get out. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that need resolution and that you need to give attention to.
Right. Right. Yeah. This has been fun.
Yes, it has. It's
mildly therapeutic.
I know.
Look at sometimes I get emotional. I feel like the things that you're most passionate about and the things that you want to give the most of yourself to, those have such an emotional tie to you that you're like, I've got so much tied up in this that it's, if I start tugging at that bow, it's all going to burst
open.
It's
all going to quit,
burst open. All right, I got a question.
Yes.
What is... besides, like, all the honesty and stuff you find on your mat, what is the number one misconception about yoga that you would like to extinguish here today?
That you have to be flexible to do yoga.
I agree.
I don't, that is just such a, like a great excuse for people not to try it. And I'm like, and it's just that, and it's an excuse. It's not a reason. Like, you can be as unflexible as you can. You do not have to be Gumby to do yoga and to be good at yoga. You just have to show up on your mat and listen.
Move your body.
Move your body.
I'm going to add to that. You don't have to be flexible, or you don't have to look like a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
Your body tape can be, can move just as fluid and just as meaningful, whatever size.
Yeah.
So that too.
Mm-hmm. I do want to share this because I've talked about this in the past where my favorite quote came from Kelly, the first yoga instructor. And I have to do it with my eyes closed. This is how I like end every class.
So like, she's looking at me with her eyes closed.
Looking at my hands have a mudra. She's like, but it's one of those things. It's a quote that I just, it speaks to me so much. And like, I get so much. And even 18 years later, I still get stuff from it. So I asked for strength and you gave me challenges to make me strong. I asked for courage and you gave me problems to solve. Wait, that's not right. Hold on. This is going to happen.
What?
Let me rewind that. Okay. I asked for strength and you gave me challenges to make me strong. I asked for courage and you gave me danger to overcome. I asked for wisdom and you gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity and you gave me brain and brawn to work. I asked for love and you gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors and you gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed.
Ugh, that's a really good one.
Right? I love that so much.
So when you're sitting there extra long.
That's what I'm doing.
Yes. No, I know that's what you're doing. But sometimes, I'm like, how many times did she go through it? I'm like, gee, she had to go through it twice today. And you, I think that it is a powerful thing to have a word or a mantra if you're thinking about, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Mine is like, usually this is my breath. This is my peace. I say that a lot in my classes, but you can just pick a word. You can pick a person.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick, you don't even, it doesn't even have to make sense. It doesn't even have to be English. So
yeah. Yes.
Make it your own, though.
Make it your own.
Don't steal it.
I will say, when I first started doing yoga, I got really intimidated if I go into a yoga class and they would om.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, that's, like, I don't know about that. I'm not the oming type of,
that's
I'm
not an oming yogi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think it was, I don't remember who explained it this way, but I was like, oh, that's actually really beautiful. It's the vibration. It's being able to feel the energy of other people around you. So as uncomfortable as you feel oming, it's not about you. It's about the group. It's about what are you giving off and what are you willing to share with everyone else in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, I was like, I will own with the best of them.
Well, and two, you can have just the intention of oming and not making a sound, because I think that your vibration, if so it's kind of like palms up, palms facing down. So if your palms are facing up, you're enabled to receive and give away energy. And there's some days you want to harness it and keep your palms down, and I think that's perfectly fine. The same thing with an om. If you want to keep your vibration to yourself and just honor yourself that day, that's completely, you know, that's the way that I see it. But
yeah.
That's just my yogi spin on it. But I love the vibrations. That's why I talk a lot about the breath and the breath having a vibration and owning that vibration and feeling it trickle through your body and how it can guide you.
Love it.
I know.
Yes.
Oh my yogi shiz. All right. Well, this has been fun.
Hey, thanks for listening to our love stories.
Yeah. Catch you later, guys.
Thanks for sharing your time with us. Help keep the CZL momentum going by rating our podcast and writing a review.
If you love what you heard in today's episode, snap a screenshot and post it to your Instagram stories.
Don't forget to tag us.